hope that you plug in and you're a part of the journey with us. Excited about that. One more thing before I read the text from God's word today. I just felt like I needed to remind somebody in the room today that today is Easter. I just felt like I just needed to remind some folk here that this is Resurrection Sunday. And so if you can't tell, we like to get a little rowdy around here. We don't think that church should be endured. It should be enjoyed. We believe that. Should be the best part of your week, not what you go to kicking and screaming. And so we just want to have some fun today. And here's how we can have a lot more fun. If you participate in the short message that I'm about to preach. And what I mean by that is not get up and testify. We're not doing that, okay? What I do mean is this. When I say something good, you have my permission to amen back to me, okay? Let me know it was good. If you got a white hanky, you can wave it in the air like you just don't care. Whatever you want to do, because I just got to say this. I don't want any irony playing out in my message. And what I mean by that is me preaching on the resurrection and you looking dead in your seat, okay? How you like me now? All right, here we go. John chapter 20 is where we're going to be, starting in verse 1. So if you got a copy of God's word with you, maybe you're frantically downloading a Bible app and you're like, what's the Wi-Fi password? Not telling you. Anyways, and so if you've got a Bible with you, you can turn to John chapter 20, verse 1. But if you don't, we've got you covered. We've got a huge Bible that's going to be on the screen behind me and on top. John chapter 20, starting in verse 1. Here's what God's word says to you and to me. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. This is Jesus where he was buried, verse 2. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple, they started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Verse 8, finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture, the Bible, that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary, she stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away," she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. Verse 15. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I'll go get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Verse 18, our last one today. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Over the next few moments, our main text here is John chapter 20, and we're going to look at John's account of the resurrection. There's four gospels in the New Testament, kind of second half of your Bible. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And each have an account of what happened when Jesus died and when he was raised to life. But I love John's account. And so with that in mind, here's my title before we pray, if you like that sort of thing in church. Here it is, "The Day Death Died." That's my title. The Day Death died. I want you to bow your heads with me. Let's pray. God, we come before you right now, and we thank you, first of all, for your word that's endured for thousands and thousands of years. We thank you, God, because it's your words to our ears and hearts. And so I just pray for every single person today underneath the sound of my voice, those live here in the room and those that will listen later on our website throughout the week. I pray, God, for each of us that we would hear from heaven, that we would hear from you, that we'd have hearts and minds ready to receive not just another textbook Easter message, if we've heard a lot of them, but God, it would come alive in our hearts and in our minds, that we would be open to be changed. And I just pray if there's any person that's here or listening later on that's far from you, and I'm sure there are people that there's a disconnect, there's a separation between you and them, I pray, God, that today they would experience their own resurrection. God, that you would save their soul as they bow their knee in their life to you. We love you, and we're excited about what you're going to do. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. A little bit about me, just in case, again, we haven't met. Again, my name's Ryan. I'm married to my beautiful wife, Isabel, and she gave me two amazing gifts, a four-year-old son named Luke and also a four-month-old baby girl named Nora. So please pray for us, because that's a lot of little people in our house right now. But my family is amazing, and I know what you're thinking. You're biased. They're your family. Yes, you're right, but I've got the mic, and so I'm going to say what I want to say. I love my family. They're incredible. And so a lot of my life has been spent pastoring. I've pastored now for close to a decade, most of it in Dallas, Texas. So again, I need your grace here today, okay? I'm glad to be here in Houston and excited about that. And so most of my pastoring was in Dallas, and specifically, I pastored a lot of preschoolers, elementary kids, and students in the student ministry, teenagers, families. That was a huge part of my ministry experience. It's why we make that a priority here at Christ Covenant. Your kids, your grandkids matter to us. Why? Because they matter to God. And so we're going to pour finances, everything into those kinds of ministries. We're excited about that. But because I've been involved with Next Generation for a long time, I had to play a lot of different games. It's a big part of those ministries. And I was thinking about this last week. And one of the games that we played all the time throughout the years, it's kind of stood the test of time, is a game called Would You Rather. Now, if you played that before, it's really simple. What you simply do is this. You start off a sentence or a question with would you rather, and then you give the person you're talking to or the group you're talking to two options. And they're either really good options or really awful options. That's how you play the game. And they can't edit the options. They can ask questions about it, but they have to go with one of those two. So let me give you an example. I'll give you a positive one. Would you rather be the star player on a championship team or be the lead vocalist for a rock band that tours the world? Two good options for a lot of people, but there's also the bad options. Here's an example of that one. Would you rather die by bee stings or by tarantula bites? Can I pick neither? No, you can't. You have to pick one. You're like, hard pass. Well, you have to pick one. And it's funny to me. It really is comical. I've thought about this, that over the years, most of those questions, especially on the negative side, had to do with death. It's kind of weird if you really think about it, because again, I was dealing with young people, but they would make these up all the time, these crazy, ludicrous ones that involved death. And really though, if you think about it, death is a part of our culture. We're face to face with death situations all the time. I mean, think about this. Think about the movies that you watch and the TV shows that you binge on Netflix, okay? Think about that. Most of them have death involved in some capacity. Maybe there's a shocking death and they're trying to deal with it afterwards, or a lot of us watch movies and TV shows where someone murdered someone, a death, and the whole episode or the whole season is trying to figure out who done it, right? And so death really is a part of our culture. And really, this last week, and God's funny this way because he knew what I was going to preach about, But this last week, I had two near-death experiences. Didn't know that this was going to be personal illustration time in my message, but it's what happened to me. I'll give you the first one. It was a couple days ago. My wife and I and our two young kids, we were in the car. I think we were on I-10 heading to the mall or something like that. We're going fast on the highway, and literally, we were inches away of someone sideswiping us on the highway. More than likely, I would not be here today. Literally inches away. We were going fast. They were going faster. And they were driving all kinds of crazy. We could see them down the road. But literally, it was one of those moments. You've experienced it where your heart is pounding. You're like, what just happened? Thank you, Jesus. I mean, even if you weren't a Christian, you're like, thank you, God. You're amazing. And it was one of those things for me. Well, the second one, and this one was the worst. It was actually traumatic, honestly. But midweek, y'all remember the storm that we had, right? I mean, how could you forget? It was all day and all night. And I think it was Wednesday or early Thursday, whenever it was. Midweek, about 2 a.m., we had a horrifying situation go down at the Weems Casa. My last name is Weems, by the way. And it happened at our house, 2 a.m. And let me kind of explain the situation real fast. So I'm there in bed, and our four-year-old son is actually with me. And I got to explain that for a second, okay? Because we have a rule in the Weems house where our son cannot sleep in our bed. It's a rule that we have. And there's only a couple of situations where we allow him to come in and sleep with us. And you may wonder, why is this the case? Because his mom and I, we like to do married things in our bed. I mean, my wife is beautiful, so I mean, I just can't help myself. And so we like to do things in our room, in our bed, that if he saw, he'd be scarred for life, okay? And so we do not allow him in the bed with us unless some of y'all are like, whoa, this church is weird. And so anyways, so we let him break this rule this night because it was crazy and no one was sleeping. And so that's one of those situations he could be in there. So it was him and I in our bed, and our four-month-old daughter is in a pack and play to the side. She's almost out the door. Like, we're getting closer and closer to sending her out, but she's still in there because she's so young. And my wife, again, it's 2 a.m. She's actually not in there. She's in the living room. Now, she's normally not up that late unless something's going on with our baby girl, Nora, or something like that. But she's up because just a little while ago, my wife's mom and dad, they celebrated the 30th wedding anniversary, and they did a vow renewal ceremony. So they flew us out to Nevada, where they're from, and I officiated that vow renewal ceremony. And so she was editing up late, editing and uploading that video so everybody could see it in their family, because that family all across the world. So that's why she's up. So it's 2 a.m., and all of a sudden, our alarm starts blasting. Not our fire alarm, but our security system alarm. And so I'm in a dead sleep, right? My wife is up, and so she freaks out like we all would. She jumps up, starts to run to our master bedroom, and she falls down. She's got a big, huge bruise on her knee from it. She hops back up, and she wakes me up, says, run, there's an alarm going off. You got to check on it. And so I wake up. She stays in the bedroom, and I remember, again, I'm a little bit groggy, but I remember that I locked all of our doors before I set the alarm. And so I go to one of our back doors, and I see that it's open. It's crazy. Never happened to me before. And so I instantly, again, I remember locking it. Obviously, I set the alarm. It's going off. So I rush back to our bedroom. This is a true story. I rush back to our bedroom. I lock them in the bedroom, and I get my shotgun, y'all. Texas is the only place you could say that and be amen and clap. If we were in New York, they would have kicked me out the church. Anyways, so I grab the shotgun. It's loaded. I take it off of safety and I cock it. It's a pump action 12-gauge shotgun. And I am ready to go. Honest to God, before you, before God, I thought literally that the next few moments I was either going to kill somebody or be killed. I really thought that was the situation that was going down. So I locked them in the bedroom. My wife's got her cell phone open, or it was mine, and she's ready to send a call to 911. She knows if I don't come back soon, or if she hears something loud, she's calling them, and she ain't opening the door for nobody. And so I embrace every police movie that I've ever seen. Now, I was nervous. Don't get me wrong. I may have cried or peed my pants a little bit. I don't know. But on the outside, I was ready. And so I'm thinking back, okay, how did they do this? And so I'm standing, not real tall, but like kind of tall. And I'm just going through. And I literally, I'm like a SWAT team. I am sweeping through every room, every closet. I'm not cleaning, okay? Like I'm going through with my shotgun. And I seriously think I'm about to use this on a person. And I'm used to using it on skeet. That's the truth. But I think I'm about to have to use it. So I'm going through. I'm even looking underneath the sink cabinets in our bathrooms. I'm like, maybe our home invader is a contortionist. And maybe they can like, so like literally behind every door, I'm just going through. It's crazy. I'm giving myself hand signals. Like, no, I didn't do that. But like, I'm just really, really intense. And my heart is pounding. I think I'm about to die or about to show someone else death. And so there I am. And I don't find anybody. To this day, I do not know what happened. And again, if I would have found somebody, you would have saw this on the news already, so I wouldn't have to say it to you here in service. But it was crazy. And so I don't know, like the storm, like maybe I partially had it shut and locked, and then it just pried it open with prayer. I have no idea what happened. I don't know if somebody really broke in and like an angel came in and like swooped them away. That would be awesome. I don't know if that happened, but it was scary. And when we face death-type situations, maybe you haven't experienced that, hopefully, but when you get a bad report from the doctor, or maybe you have a close call on the road, or maybe something happens here or there, anytime that we experience death, we feel hopeless. It's just the truth. Anytime we're faced with our mortality, we have this feeling creep up on the inside of us of hopelessness. And that's exactly where the disciples were when Jesus died on Good Friday. They were hopeless. They were frustrated. They scattered. They were thrown in the white towel. They thought Christianity as they knew it was over. Why? Because messiahs don't die. Sons of God can't be killed. And so they thought Christianity was over. And I love what John says at the beginning, that Mary went to the tomb, not to find Jesus alive, but to pay her respects. She goes there and she's freaking out. She's like, where is God? Like, think about the comedy here. She's like, who took God? Where did God go? Where is he? And so she runs to get Peter and John. And remember, John is writing here and he's talking about himself. And I think it's hilarious that instead of saying I, or instead of saying John, just talking about himself that way, he makes sure that he humble brags and he says, the one whom Jesus loved. I don't know if you caught that. It's verse 2. You can check it later. Not myself. You know, it wasn't Peter and I. It wasn't John and Peter. It was Peter and the one whom Jesus loved. Hashtag no big deal, right? This is what it is. And not just that. I don't know if you caught it after that. I think it's in verse 4. But it talks about how Peter and John run to the tomb. And John makes sure to tell us. This is hilarious. He makes sure to tell us that he won the foot race. Come on, man. Isn't that such a man thing to do? I just love those details that we get. And they show up on the scene and they go in and Jesus is not there, just like Mary said. And they see this and I love it. But we see actually in a different translation than what we read just a moment ago. But we see in the NKJV, the New King James Version, that not only was Jesus' cloth that was on his face, not only is it moved to the side, but he folded it. We see that context in the New King James Version. Same Bible, just different phrasing and wording. And I love that because not only did Jesus rise from the dead, he made his bed. Let me talk to the parents in the room. You use that on Tuesday, okay? When your kid doesn't make their bed. You know, Jesus rose from the dead and made his bed. You know, you have permission. That's free. That's yours. You can use that. But it's just this amazing scene of what happens. And then the disciples, they leave, but Mary, she stays and she's weeping. She's distraught, and then she sees two angels, but not just that, Jesus appears to her. She doesn't know it's Jesus at first. You may be wondering, maybe you're throwing shade on Mary. How could she not know? that it's Jesus. She thought it was the gardener. Like, how could she not know? I'll tell you why. She was looking for a corpse. It's the truth. She was distraught. Have you ever cried so hard that you can barely breathe? She wept. She wasn't looking for Jesus alive. She was looking for dead Jesus. And she goes after him. Now, I don't know the tone, but let's just imagine for a second. We can see the questions that she asked Jesus. She asked Jesus if he took Jesus. She's like, where did you take him? Where is God? I've got to have him. Where is he? And she's so distraught. And then Jesus says her name. And instantly, she knows it's him. This isn't my message, but I got to tell somebody today, Jesus knows your name. He cares about you. And when he says her name, Mary, she sees it's him, and he acknowledges her, and there's this moment together. It's just incredible what happens because Jesus revealed himself to her. And today, he wants to reveal himself to you. He loves you. He cares about you. And then Jesus sends her off to tell all the other disciples that he is alive and not dead. You see, and I actually posted this on social media, a lot happened in 3 days. We had Good Friday, Jesus died, and then we have Resurrection Sunday. Jesus came back to life. It's Easter. We celebrate it all throughout the year. But I get it, because there's some people underneath the sound of my voice today that maybe you've never been to church, or it's been a long time since you've been to church, and you hear the good news about Sunday, but you're stuck in Friday. You're stuck with that death and that hopelessness. And I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know if it's physical death and you got a bad report, or someone you love got a bad report from the doctor. I don't know if it's emotional death. You've been hurt and deeply wounded by people you thought you could trust. I don't know if it's spiritual death. That at one time you were close to God, but something happened, or somebody did something weird and they slapped Jesus' name on it. And because of that, you separated yourself and you walked away from God. I don't know what the death looks like for you, but I've got good news. You may be stuck in Friday, but Sunday's a coming. Resurrection Sunday is here. A lot can happen in 3 days. A lot can happen. In 3 days, you may be living in Friday, but Jesus wants to resurrect what's been dead. In fact, this is Easter. Easter is this: Jesus came not to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. That's Easter. It's what it's all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this, so powerful. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Easter is the day that death died. And Jesus loves you, friend, so much. I want you to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes all across this place. Jesus, we thank you that your love, your presence is real right now in this room. It's not a goosebump. It's not some emotional response. Your presence is real. You're here. And right now, Holy Spirit, you're tugging on hearts. There's people underneath the sound of my voice that they didn't know it before now, but this whole service, everything that we've done before, during, and after today has all revolved around this one moment, giving many a chance to surrender their life to you, Jesus. You love them with an unconditional love. When you were hanging on that cross, they were on your mind. And I know they miss it. I know they've sinned just like we all have. But because of your sacrifice, we can be forgiven. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We couldn't go to church enough. We couldn't read our Bible enough. We couldn't pray enough. We couldn't be a good person enough. None of it gets us to heaven but a relationship with you, Jesus. And it's here today. It's a free gift. So with every eye closed, please, every head bowed, no one looking around but myself to honor this holy moment. This is your moment. I'm going to ask you to do something bold today. It's not going to be to stand up. It's not going to be to come up front or you got to fill out this card or do this thing. No, right where you're seated, God wants to do business with you, but you've got to respond to him. The Bible tells us that he loved us first. So your response to God is not the first move. Jesus already made the first move. So every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, you're far from God. No pastor has to tell you. You just know that there's separation between you and him. If that's you, but you want to make a change today, you want to give your life to Jesus just like I have and many in this room have. You want to surrender your all to him. You want to ask him to forgive you of your sins. If you want to do that today, it's you, me, and God right now. And all you have to do is lift up your hand into the air so I can see it. And if that's you, you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time or the first time in a long time, why don't you lift up your hand and keep it up for a moment? God sees your hand. Yes, I see those. Keep them up. Keep them up. Be proud. I see that hand. See that hand. I see that hand. Don't miss your moment. Hands all over. Keep it up. I know your arm gets tired, but God sees your response today. Anybody else? Don't miss your moment. Easter is about Jesus coming in. I see that hand in the back. Thank you so much. He wants to resurrect what's been dead. Come on, anybody else to join the brave others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So good. Put your hand down. Eyes still closed. Heads still bowed. We're right on time. Don't worry about that. Every single person that raised their hand a moment ago, and also those in the room that are already believers, you love Jesus and you've already asked him to forgive you of your sins and make you new. I'm asking both of those groups here just moments from now to repeat a prayer after me. Nothing magical about this prayer. No pixie dust from heaven is going to float down. But God tells us clearly in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth, speak out loud, and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Since that's all we're going to do, we're going to confess out loud, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. That's what we're celebrating today. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins and wash me, clean me up, make me new. And if you'll say that out loud and mean it in your hearts, you can know that you know that you know that your eternity will be in heaven with the Lord and not in hell. And God wants that for you today. So those that raised their hand a moment ago and the Christians in the room, repeat this after me and mean it with all your heart. Say this, dear Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me first. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the dead so that I could be forgiven of every mistake, of every sin, and I ask you now to forgive me, to clean me, to make me new. Jesus, I put my trust in you, and from this day forward, I will do my best to live for you and tell others about you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Can someone get a little wild in this room? Celebrate what just happened. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.